Hi, Caitlin.
How's it going today?
It's going good. You know, the universe is testing me, but things are going good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's sunny in Portland now, and we've been very active over the last weekend. A lot of biking around and hiking around.
Good.
Feels good to get the blood flowing and some sun on my pasty white cheeks. The face ones, not the butt ones.
Thanks for clarifying.
You're welcome. Sorry, Mom. So, today on Cryptid Queens... Oh yeah, this is Cryptid Queens.
This is Cryptid Queens.
We are a podcast that loves cryptids and ghost stories and mythology and folklore. And we pick a different location across the globe each week to talk about the local folklore and cryptids in that area. And today we are going to be doing kind of a unique take on a mini-sode. We're doing several stories from New Jersey of haunted places. And then Alex is going to dive further into the Indrid Cold mystery and go into, what are they called again?
The Black Eyed Kids and the Men in Black. So the real Men in Black.
The real Men in Black. Okay.
Allegedly real, but not Will Smith.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, nice. I'm very excited for this. But before we get started, we have a short question to discuss. We haven't done one of these in a minute, but we did one or two of them early on and then forgot about it. But I want to start doing these again for the mini-sodes because I think it's fun.
I think it's fun too.
So our question for this week, Alex, if you were a ghost and you could pick whatever place you wanted to haunt, but it could only be one place, where would you haunt?
Well, it depends, because, like, if I'm haunting, then I want to, like, scare the person that is in that house. So if there's someone that I really don't like, I would haunt their place. I mean, I feel like the obvious one is Donald Trump.
Ooh, so would you, like, haunt Mar-a-Lago or something?
Or his, like, golden apartment in New York?
Haunt the golden toilet and then just, like, pinch his butt all the time. Ew.
What about you?
I would haunt probably the Fox Theater in Oakland.
Aw, dude.
It is probably my favorite music venue. I love it so much. You'd always get to see sick shows, and you could be a theater ghost and, like, do creepy stuff where you, like, I don't know, haunt people backstage and, like, haunt the balcony. And I love theater ghosts. Real fan of the opera vibes.
I was just about to say, would you be a phantom of the opera?
I absolutely would if that were a choice given to me.
Dude, I didn't even think about that. Haunting, like, concert venues? Damn it.
Yes, I want to be a concert ghost.
Well, good fucking answer. God damn
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, should we get into some hauntings in New Jersey? I found a bunch of these on the 13thhour.com. And they had an article up called Six of the Most Popular Scary Places in New Jersey. But then when you get to, like, the bottom of the article, they're, like, trying to promote their haunted house for, like, Halloween time.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah, it's, like, escape room and haunted house stuff. Mm. So I like, used that as, like, a initial inquiry and then, like, did more research to make it a little bit more reputable.
Legit. Yeah.
So Wikipedia was one of them. And then for each one, there's different ones. So I'll say it when I get there.
Cool.
Okay. So the first one is the Devil's Tree.
Ooh.
And this tree is located in Bernards Township. And if you're in New Jersey and know what Bernards Township is, then that sentence was for you, because I do not. It's supposedly the site of a farmer's gruesome murder-suicide, or Ooh. Possibly several terrible lynchings. They're not really sure. They found a bunch of people hung, and the farmer was one of them. They don't know if he hung all these people and then hung himself, or what exactly happened. So it's, like, very vague.
Mm-hmm.
So it's said that the tree and the ground surrounding it is warm to the touch no matter the time of year, and that any snow that falls instantly melts when it touches the tree or, like, the ground near the tree. And the tree itself is an imposing sight, growing grizzled, gnarled, and steeped in mystery. The trunk is littered with the axe marks of futile attempts to chop it down. The legend goes that anyone who tries to cut the tree down is doomed to meet an unfortunate end. And according to Wikipedia, there's a common claim that the Bernards Township was one of the central headquarters for the KKK in New Jersey. Yeah, and they think that the tree had been used historically to lynch a lot of black people and rebellious slaves since the colonial times, horribly. Another claim is that the farmer hanged himself from the tree after killing his family. Other legends surrounding the tree allege that visitors who get too close to the tree will get chased by a black Ford pickup truck that's, like, really old. And then it'll just disappear at a certain point. So, like, a ghost truck, which very interesting.
Yeah.
And also, anyone that touches the tree will find that their hands have turned black the next time they go into a restaurant.
What?
So your hands only turn black if you go to a restaurant, I guess.
That is such a weird detail.
It is such a weird detail.
What?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
From, like, a folklore perspective, like, how does that even... That's so fucking random.
It's so specific, too, which just doesn't... I don't get it. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe it's the OG we have food at home meme.
Must be. Can we get McDonald's?
No, your hands are going to turn black. I don't know. But anyway, so the township's plans to develop the land where the tree is located might have required its removal, but the township decided to protect the tree instead as, like, a piece of history and keep it intact. And in 2007, a sign was posted at the site stating when it's open for the public to, like, go to the tree. And then the Devil's Tree was later surrounded by a chain link fence following some vandalism. So people were, like, spray painting all over the tree and...
Jesus Christ.
Being dicks. Nobody likes your shitty tag. If you draw, like, a cool-ass picture on a building that has let you draw that there, then dope. But if you're just writing, like, some stupid
Tom
whatever your nickname... Yeah. Like, go get a piece of paper. No one cares about your shitty tag.
God
okay.
Damn it.
Gates of Hell. This is a place in Clifton, New Jersey, and it is the name given to a cavernous passageway leading to a collection of several large underground tunnels and storm sewers, and the pictures of it are terrifying and so cool. Ooh. It's a dark and potentially dangerous place that floods very rapidly. Legends surround these tunnels, and people report spotting animal bones from ritual sacrifice, suspicious foul odors, secret rooms that can't be found more than once. And strange whispers in the darkness. Of course, there's also rumors that if you journey deep enough into the tunnels, you'll stumble into the actual portal to the underworld. So, Gates to Hell is a sewer in New Jersey. Now we know.
Apparently.
Yeah. So, from Atlas Obscura, it says, from the outside, the Gates of Hell located behind the old Black Prince Distillery in Clifton, New Jersey, look like any other collection of drains. But once you climb inside, you'll see that the drains, home of the devil, according to an old urban legend, are covered with satanic graffiti and murals from generations of those who have dared to enter. The Gates of Hell drain stands out from others nearby because it is square in shape and dry, while all other drains in the area typically have streams of water flowing through or from them. You need to climb down to reach the storm drains. You can either jump down near the gate's entrance or look for the nearby ladder located near, like, a drain entrance that's a little bit further away. And reportedly, the drains go on for hundreds of feet underground, layered 9 times, just like the circles of hell, and are filled with the remains of satanic sacrifices, bones, decaying carcasses, crosses, upside-down crosses, and more. So people go down there to do weird-ass shit.
God damn it. Those people aren't Satanists. I feel very strongly about this. So I, up until, like, when the pandemic started, because I need every single cent that I have, I was donating to the Satanic Temple every month.
Mm.
And
like the official Church of Satan temple?
So there's a difference between the Church of Satan and the Satanic Temple. The Church of Satan is Anton LaVey.
Okay, yeah.
That's the guy from San Francisco that had that like really crazy satanic building house.
Gotcha.
And that, what I remember is that the Church of Satan actually believed that there was a being that was Satan. And they did a little bit more weird, like spiritual dark shit. And they believed in all of that. And then the Satanic Temple, it's like they have their own lawyers and they basically fight these cases for people. And they usually use like freedom of religion as their talking point. Like just recently, they did a case where this woman was trying to get an abortion and the Satanic Temple backed her and tried to push it as it's like part of her quote unquote religion. To be able to like have that access. So they literally like do these crazy civil law cases where they help people have equal rights.
Right. So this is the temple that there was the documentary about, right?
Yes. It was the one that was called Hail Satan.
And it's I saw that on Hulu. And loved it.
It's great.
It was so interesting. And it wasn't at all about like, we actually believe in Satan. They're like,
right.
The people that actually believe in Satan, we call those Christians. We just use this nomenclature to make it so that we can say, like, oh, you want to put the Ten Commandments on a government building? Like, we want a statue of Baphomet.
Exactly.
To show the ridiculousness of intertwining politics and religion. Okay.
And they're pretty much taking advantage of the idea that America has freedom of religion. So they can't discriminate against, quote unquote, Satanism because there's pretty much no separation of church and state in this country, even though they like to say there is.
Yeah.
So they just want, you know, America to be consistent with the Constitution. So it's like, it's really great because it uses like conservatives and Christians' own morals and values and laws against them. It makes me so fucking happy.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah.
I dig it. I love that shit. Huge sidebar.
Anyway, okay. There's all sorts of satanic sacrifices down in the catacombs of this...
this drain.
In this drain that goes around 9 times or whatever. And according to the legend, there's a room deep underground that can be entered only by those possessed with the power to lift giant axes that weigh thousands of pounds that block the doors. So if the devil himself gives you the strength to lift it, then you're deemed worthy or whatever. And inside that room is supposedly a glowing human skull that is the last sign that you see before you encounter the devil himself. More plausible legends tell of people drowning in the drains while trying to explore them, and the rooms underground being used as meeting places for devil worshippers or members of the KKK. Apparently there's a lot of KKK back in New Jersey, or at least there used to be. So that is the devil's drain, I guess, the gates of hell in Clifton.
You've watched Adventure Time, right?
Oh, we're in the middle of it right now, actually. We're watching every episode in order, because over the pandemic, it was, like, too hard to watch, like, serious shows. So Chris and I started watching cartoons, and it's been the best decision. So many cartoons.
You've seen, my favorite episode is Return to the Nidosphere.
Yes!
That's my favorite episode ever.
Where we get to meet Marceline's dad. Or I think we've met him before, but we get to really know Marceline's dad.
It's so fucking good. Finn and Jake wake up in this jail in the Nidosphere. They don't remember the night before, so it's it's very parallel to like waking up hungover and not fucking understanding how they got in that position. And then Finn and Jake, the whole episode, they're trying to figure out how they ended up in jail in the Nidosphere. It's so good. And in the beginning of the episode, they wake up in a pile of bananas. And Jake goes around asking all of the demons, and he's like, what the fuck is this? Like, what's going on? And then all the
and they're
demons
like,
are like,
ew.
And then you find out at the end of the episode that the demons shit bananas out of their ears. So they're just like sitting in a pile of demon poop. It's my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. It makes me very happy that you also love it. Because this is one more thing that we could dress up as Halloween as. Because you could be Marceline and I could be Bubblegum and it would be great. Dude, it would be great.
That is just perfect for us.
And Chris can be
Finn.
Finn, because he already has the hat. And Evan can be Jake.
I mean, he's already a golden retriever, so that totally
works. Oh my goodness, he is. We could put his little hair into two little buns like these to make dog ears.
Oh my god, stop.
Oh, I love it. Nobody even knows what they look like, but this is so funny to me.
No, I know. Well, basically, Evan is a tall, lanky man with long blonde hair and an epic mustache. And then Chris is, they're
basically the same. Looking, the same. I would describe him the same way.
Oh, that's great.
Except Chris has a beast of a beard.
Both wonderful.
Both wonderful men. And they're best friends, too. I know, which makes
the cutest thing ever. All right,
man, this IPA is doing me in.
I'm
sorry. Oh man. Okay. All right, next story. Dubbed the Grand Central of Ghosts. This house is often referred to as one of the most haunted houses in America, let alone one of the most scary places in New Jersey. It's long been the site of ghostly apparitions and paranormal mysteries. The proprietor of the establishment, Thomas Seabrook, reportedly used the house to spy on British soldiers during the Revolutionary War. It's also said that pirates would dispose of their countless dead in the cellar.
Oh,
so they'd like drop off the bodies. It's a lone white wooden building that stands with its back to the windswept shore of the Sandy Hook Bay in Port Monmouth, and that's like a part of Middletown. Its official name is the Seabrook Wilson Homestead, but most people know it as the Spy House. Though its true history belies many of the legends that have circulated for years about this property, it has not dissuaded some believers in the paranormal from dubbing it the most haunted house in America.
Wow.
The Spy House was built sometime around 1650, originally sat on 300 acres of land along the lonely Port Monmouth shoreline. As the story goes, at the time of the Revolutionary War, it was a tavern and a popular drinking spot for British troops. The owner at the time was an innkeeper, Thomas Seabrook. He was a patriot of the New Jersey militia. And the origins of the Spy House moniker comes from the legend that Seabrook would get the redcoat soldiers drunk enough to spill military secrets and then pass the overheard intelligence to the colonial forces.
Incredible.
Yeah, so it became a tavern around 1910, and then it became an inn up until like the 1970s, where you could actually like stay the night and all that. So here's the ghost stories. There are several. So visitors often reported seeing ghostly apparitions, either while in the house or through the windows from the outside. Paranormal investigations were conducted, often resulting in persuasive evidence of alleged otherworldly activity. There were several articles written by notable paranormal experts, some of which would dub the Spy House the most haunted house in America. Soon, the Spy House stopped allowing the public in for tours. This only further fueled the ghost hunters' beliefs that officials were trying to cover up the paranormal presence within the walls. And during its closure, the Monmouth County Park Commission removed all the items once displayed at the house and stripped the interior to bare timbers in an overall effect to restore the building to its original appearance circa the Seabrooks era. And it's once again open to the public, but only as a museum. And it displays exhibits of, like, historical significance, kind of a time capsule of Middletown's history. And a lot of people think that some of the ghosts might have left when the stuff that they were attached to was left. But some people think that there's still a lot of ghosts there. And here are a couple encounters that I was able to find on Weird New Jersey. So this one comes from Ray. That's all that they said their name was. And he says, "One morning, my friend Dave's parents went to visit the old Spy House Museum in Port Monmouth. They were there at the appointed opening time, but the curator wasn't there. After about a half an hour of waiting, they said, 'The hell with it,' and left. As they were getting back into their car, my friend's father looked up and pointed out a kid about 10 or 12 years old looking at them from the upstairs window. His dad said that the kid had on one of those puffy shirts that they used to wear in the old days. As they watched, he slowly backed away from the window.
Oh.
Just then, the curator drove up and apologized for being late. They told her that they had seen a young boy in the upstairs window. She said no one is supposed to be in there. She opened the house up, and together they searched the place but found no one.
That's fucking terrifying. I just had to, like, look behind me because I'm getting freaked out.
There's no boys in your windows. Here's the second one. And this one is from Allie on Weird New Jersey. And it says, on the way back from a very fun day at the water park in Keensburg, my dad decided to show my sister and myself the spy house. When we got there, we looked into the windows. It was extremely dark inside and everything was locked. When we made it to the left side of the house, my dad noticed something moving inside the house. I just shrugged it off as nothing. But then when I was looking in the same upstairs window, I noticed that the rocking chair was moving. I was scanning all the windows to see if I could see anything else unusual, and I clearly saw a man sitting in a rocking chair reading. It couldn't have been a ranger because he was wearing old clothes and was sitting in the dark reading alone in a locked house. We snapped a picture and ran, and as we pulled away, a ranger pulled up and unlocked the doors, so we assume it had to have been a ghost.
I want to see the photo.
I didn't see the photo on that site. I wonder if it's out there.
Maybe it's on Reddit or something.
Fucking Allie, post your photo. Give us the cred that we deserve.
Pixar didn't happen.
Pixar didn't happen, Allie. Okay, so the Devil's Tower in Alpine. This tower was built by a plantation owner who moved north after striking his fortune. He had the tower built so his wife could see the panoramic views of New York City. Legend has it that the wife was up in the tower and saw her husband below with another woman.
Oof.
Distraught, she leapt from the tower.
Oh no, girl, don't do that. He's just a man.
He's just a man. However, she survived the fall.
What?
Which was honestly even worse because she lived another 7 years bedridden with significant brain and physical trauma.
Damn, that's a bummer.
In the years following her horrible trauma, several attempts were made to demolish the tower, but each time there was a strange and unexplained accident at the work site, including several workers accidentally falling to their death and very, like, mysterious things like machinery not being able to work for no reason and missing pieces to, like, the equipment they were using and that kind of stuff. In addition, visitors report hearing screams from the top of the tower. And local legend says that if you walk backwards in a circle around the tower 6 times, you'll see the apparition of a woman at the top of the tower. And these sightings and the unexplained work accidents were enough to prevent further efforts to demolish the tower. Currently, it still stands abandoned and undisturbed.
Wow. I'm still on the fence about ghosts, honestly. I need a solid ghost experience.
I've had a solid ghost experience.
Usually people that have seen them believe in them. Like, I'm the type of person where I need to see it and then I'll believe it.
Right, right.
That's why I don't believe in God. Sorry, I'm, like, aggressively atheist, and I apologize to listeners that have faith.
I'm aggressively questioning everything and trying to be spiritual, but tired of, like, conspiracy theories invading the spiritual community, and honestly, at this point, I kind of would just say I'm agnostic at best.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, being an atheist, it's very absolute. But being agnostic is like, well, we don't know. No one knows. So why the fuck are we even making calls? You know,
I don't even know what I don't know.
Exactly. The universe is under no obligation to be able to be understood by humans anyway. So.
Right. I mean, it's just like, you know, some animals can see ultraviolet light or can hear things that the human ears can't hear. And it's like, how can I see this much of the visible spectrum and hear this much of the, when there's so much, and expect for myself to be able to understand what made it? Like, that, it's just silly to even think that I could ever know.
Yeah, I mean.
So I'm tired of trying to know.
Yeah, totally. That's kind of how I feel too. It's like, no one fucking knows. So I'm just going to not have an opinion about it. I don't know. I have a really hard time thinking that there's some type of old man in the sky telling me if I'm, like, doing something wrong or not. Because I feel like I can do that myself.
I totally agree with you.
Anyway, I'm going to go into the Black Eyed Kids and the Men in Black And this is kind of piggybacking off of last week when I was talking about Indrid Cold, because it is believed that they are all connected and all have to do with UFO sightings, alien abductions, all that stuff. And this isn't specifically New Jersey. I just wanted to talk about this because there was a connection to it from the last episode. So I also just want to say before I go into this that there is some serious government conspiracy stuff that I'm going to talk about. And just because I'm going to talk about it does not mean that I believe any of it.
Right, so, right, okay.
Take everything.
That is very fair.
Yeah, take everything with a grain of salt. It's an entertaining story. All right, so the Black Eyed Kids, or the BEKs, they're supposedly a group of paranormal entities that resemble children between the ages of 6 and 16. Mm. So they have pale skin and black eyes from lid to lid, so they have no iris. And they are reportedly seen hitchhiking, panhandling, coming to your door, even.
Oh, geez, no, yes. Thanks.
And usually it might seem like they need help, or they might just stand still for no reason at all. They are regarded as sinister, terrifying at times, even dangerous by those who encounter them, but no one is really sure what they are and what their intentions are. All stories of sightings of these black-eyed kids are very similar. Kids with eyes completely blacked out appear at people's homes or their vehicle, knock on the door or window, and then insist upon getting inside. So, I just gave myself a chill. So they're usually asking for a favor, like I said, like asking to use the phone to call their parents and stuff like that. Right. So anyone who encountered them has almost immediately felt an overwhelming sense of dread, really similar detail to all of these alien abduction stories, as well as Indrid Cold and the Mothman. Besides the blacked out eyes, these children typically appear normal. Sometimes their clothing is a little outdated, though.
Weird. Yeah. Ooh, why does that freak me out more than anything else?
Because they're like, all right, this is the prototype of a human child, but they got it back in like the 1950s, and that's what they're sticking with.
Weird.
Yeah. So in extremely unusual instances, people have reported encountering creatures with talon-like feet.
Nope.
Yeah, nope.
Talon feet?
Talon feet.
Like, oh. So like bird feet?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
So no one knows where or how these entities pop up. So conspiracy theorists believe that the black-eyed kids are aliens trying to reach out to their quote-unquote Earth by coming in and, like, calling their quote-unquote parents. and then demonologists actually believe that they are children of the devil themselves. And if you let them in, you're allowing the devil to enter your life.
I didn't know that demonologist was a job.
Yeah, man.
How do I become that?
I do think most demonologists are, like, priests that that have experience in, like, exorcisms and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. Some people claim that these children have existed since the 1980s. However, most sources say that the legend originated in 1996 in posts. So this is where it kind of gets a little less credible. In posts written by a Texas reporter named Brian Bethel, where he wrote about two alleged encounters with the black-eyed kids. So, he said that he encountered two children in Abilene, Texas, with pale skin and black eyes. In 2012, Bethel retold his story on the TV show Monsters and Mysteries in America.
Ooh.
He then wrote an article for the Abilene Reporter News where he described his experience. Again, please take all of this that I'm about to say with a huge grain of, not even grain, a huge boulder of salt. because it's also said that the black-eyed kids are just a manifestation of internet culture, Reddit, and creepypasta.
Okay. You
know? So, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it, but it's fucking cool anyway. So, here it goes.
Mm-hmm.
In the snowy town within the middle of nowhere of Vermont, an elderly couple heard the sound of three loud knocks on their door. So, they opened the door and saw two children, a boy and a girl. And then they said, "Parents will be here soon. May we come in?" The children did not make any eye contact and just stood there in the doorway. The elderly couple were hesitant, but after a while they let the boy and girl inside. The kids settled on the couch while the wife made some hot cocoa and the husband asked them questions that went unanswered. So the wife returned and noticed that her cat was scared and angry with the children. And I'd kick him out right then and there, dude.
Cats know things that we don't know.
Yeah, if I'm scared in the dark, I just like see what my cat is doing. And then if he's chill, I'm chill. So then the kid said, maybe please use the restroom. She directed them to the bathroom and returned to her husband, who was covering his face with his hand. He said, did you see their eyes? The husband then shows her that his hand is full of blood from a nosebleed. Then the power suddenly went out. So the wife headed to the restroom and was confronted by the voice of the kids at the end of the hall uttering, our parents are here. The kids then exited the house, leaving the door wide open. The wife then noticed that there were two men at the end of the driveway. The men were very tall and slender. The wife waved, but did not receive the same friendly gesture. The two men and children then drove away together in one car. So keep that in mind, because these two men are allegedly the Men in Black.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Are they in love?
Are they just partners?
Are they just some cute gay cryptids that we get to enjoy?
Oh, you know, I totally forgot that. I got all this information from this TBS News article by Maria Mohsen.
Okay. Thank you, Maria Mohsen.
And then the Villains fandom website, and then also Wikipedia. When the kids left, the power then came back on. And then throughout the next week, weird things happened in the house. This is really sad. Three out of four cats went missing.
No.
And the fourth had been found dead in the pool of its own blood.
Yeah. Oh my God. Do not let these children into your house. So, or your pets will be very unhappy. Yeah.
So the husband continued to have nosebleeds, and he finally went to the doctor where he was diagnosed with a very aggressive skin cancer.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. That's pretty much the whole story that I could find of that, but you know, it's a cool story. So this is quoted directly from TBS News, just because she described it the best way. So nowadays, people still claim to see the black-eyed kids when driving late at night down an empty road or outside of their window late at night, or even lurking in the shadow of their room.
No.
So many people have reported seeing the black-eyed children standing in the corner of their room during their episodes of sleep paralysis.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Or even waking up in the middle of the night because they sensed someone watching them, and in the shadows were these children.
I have horrible insomnia. Really, really, really bad insomnia. And I can't fall asleep. I can't stay asleep. Nothing is good. But the worst part of it all is the fucking sleep paralysis. It's the worst thing that I've ever experienced. And I wish it on no one except Donald Trump.
What I hate about it is like the helplessness that you feel.
Yeah.
Which like always comes with it. And I fucking hate it. Thankfully, I haven't had it in a while, but
if I ever saw any black-eyed children while I was in the middle of one of those, I do not know what I would do. I don't know.
So the thing is that the whole theory, the whole story is that if you like research them and like look them up and like learn about them, then you see them.
Great.
It brings them about.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
So remember when I said that during the encounter in Vermont, they stepped outside to their parents, who were the two men?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to go into the Men in Black now.
Let's do it.
Galaxy Defenders. So the Men in Black are supposed men dressed in black suits who claimed to be quasi-government agents who harass, threaten, or sometimes even assassinate UFO witnesses. It's just to keep them quiet about what they have seen. So, you know, kind of similar to the movie.
Yeah, you know.
A little less innocent. Several alleged encounters with the Men in Black have been reported by UFO researchers and enthusiasts. So there is a lot of There's a lot of theories about how this could potentially be just like mass hysteria, and they called it psychological drama, which basically happens when you're already a conspiracy theorist and then your thoughts are already really out there, and then that would make pretty much anything plausible.
Right, okay.
So in the 1950s and 60s, ufologists adopted a conspiratorial mindset.
Okay.
They adopted a paranoid mindset.
Right.
Okay. And began to fear they would be subject to organized intimidation in retaliation for discovering, quote, the truth of the UFOs.
Okay.
Yes. So in 1947, on Maury Island in Washington State, this kind of started it all, a man named Harold Dahl was with his son and dog salvaging logs on a fishing boat when they spied six donut-shaped crafts flying in the air above them. So the crafts dropped, supposedly, molten waste onto the lake, which allegedly killed Dahl's dog and injured his son.
How rude. I know.
The dog didn't do anything.
Don't kill the dog. Write a better story. Yeah.
So a few days later, after talking about the affairs with his boss and friends, he was visited by a mysterious man dressed in all black. So the man urged him to not discuss the encounter. Not long after, he was also visited by several Air Force agents who were said to be on a mission to, quote, gather information. So Dahl's story definitely got the attention of various law enforcement agencies in the United States, leading the FBI to actually write a report on the matter.
Wow.
Yeah, so I found a copy online of the original report.
Damn, girl!
Yeah, some of it is redacted, but I have it, and I'm gonna post it on Instagram, too.
But that's cool. Good sleuthing.
Yeah. In the mid-1950s, the ufologist Albert K. Bender claimed he was visited by men in dark suits who threatened and warned him not to continue investigating UFOs. So Bender maintained that the men in black were secret government agents who had been given the task of suppressing evidence of UFOs. So our good friend, the ufologist John Keel.
Hey, he keeps coming up, man.
He claimed to have had encounters with men in black and referred to them as demonic supernaturals. I couldn't really find the context for that, but it is interesting that like a ufologist would see them as like demonic paranormal entities and not aliens.
Right. That is weird.
And then a direct quote from this website called Thought Catalog in an article by Jacob Gears. He says, writer John Sherwood claims that his friend Gray Barker concocted the myth, quote unquote myth, of the men in black in 1956 in a book called They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. Yeah, so Sherwood swears that Gray came up with a theory as a joke, similar to rumors of how L. Ron Hubbard invented Scientology as part of a bet with another science fiction writer as to whether he'd be able to invent a successful religion.
I see.
So that also reminds me of Tom Petty betting that he could write a hit song with just two chords and...
Wait, what song?
Free Falling.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's only two chords?
Yes, dude.
Oh man, that's hilarious.
Yes. So to end it with this Sherwood story, whether or not Sherwood's story is true, this still doesn't account for the fact that Howard Dahl's report of the Men in Black sighting predates Barker's alleged hoax by almost a decade.
Oh wow, okay.
So I don't know. Like I said, I don't really know what to think of it. It's a cool story, and it's definitely less credible than Injured Cold, but I thought it was really interesting to share, even if it is just internet creepypasta. But yeah, that is...
I think it's cool.
Thanks. That is the Black Eyed Kids and the Men in Black.
Damn.
Yeah.
I feel like I learned some things. Do you think Injured Cold is like those kids' weird uncle?
It's gotta be. He's gotta be that like cool uncle that brings them like Grateful Dead tapes or something like that.
Yeah, that's nice. It'd be cool to have an uncle like that.
A lot of people that I've met that are into the Dead were like, yeah, my uncle got me into it. My uncle brought me to a show once. My uncle had a CD. Like, it's always the fucking cool uncle.
So my uncle went to a Grateful Dead show. His mind was blown. And my grandma figured out where he was, drove to Lot, picked him up, and, like, took him home.
Oh, my God.
He never went to another show again, no. And then he became, like, a super religious person.
There was a window there, and he missed it.
He was so close. Fuck. I'm feeling very scatterbrained today.
Dude, me too. We apologize to our listeners if this has been all over the fucking place, but...
We love you. We appreciate your support. Yes. We're the hottest mess. Yeah. Oh, also, we released our new logo design, which we're really, really excited about.
Oh my God.
And we wanted to give all the props to Sydney Pinkerton.
Yes.
You can follow her art page.
Yes. So it's s.pinkerton, like it sounds, .art. And she is actually my really good old friend from college, and she was my roommate in college too, and she is a really she's a really talented artist and also a really fucking kick-ass human.
Cheers to you, Sydney.
Yeah, cheers to you, Sydney.
We love you.
We love you so much.
And we're going to very soon be announcing some merch with that design.
Yes,
so
we are.
Stay tuned. If you like it, you will soon be able to wear it and slap it on all of your favorite things.
Wear it and slap it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure to rate us and comment. iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen. It really does help us. It helps our views. It helps our ratings. Follow us.
And it makes us feel like people care about us in this cold, cruel
it
world.
It feeds into my ego. I really need it.
Yeah, I have no self-esteem. Please help.
Fuck. And please follow us on Instagram at Cryptid Queens Podcast and email us if you have any cryptids that you want us to cover, any hometown stories that you have that you can just send in. We can read them live on air to our audience. Just anything. Mm-hmm.
So keep your eyes peeled, you beautiful queens.
And have a spooky week, but not too spooky.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.